Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
In life, all of us need encouragement. We need that proverbial pat on the back. We need to be told that things are going well or things can improve and that there is hope for the future. How true that is when it comes to Christianity. Satan and the world around us is going to do its part to discourage us. Friend, be assured today, though, there is encouragement to come from the Word of God. This morning, I want us to take our Bibles and I want to walk through some passages with you that I hope will offer encouragement, help for the road ahead as we strive to live faithful and ultimately go to that place called heaven. I want you to take your Bible with me and turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. As I think about encouragement from the Bible, you can't help but turn to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 and be encouraged knowing there is a refuge. There is a place of rest found in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Open to Matthew chapter 11. And I want you to look in verses 28 through 30. That's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He then said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't it encouraging to hear Jesus say, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden"? You know, at times we face difficulties. At times we face discouragement, whether it be from discouragement we're dealing with from ourselves, whether it be from the world around us, whether it be the circumstances of life. Sometimes life throws us a curveball. How do you deal with that? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." When the fighting gets rough, when the road gets difficult, when sometimes it doesn't seem like you can go on anymore, there's help to be had. Jesus promises to help each of us. Jesus says we can walk in His footsteps. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "I can know the mind of Christ." Philippians 2 verse 5, "And I can receive encouragement knowing Jesus does know and Jesus does care about what we face in this life." But for Him to help, I've got to take a step also. Jesus doesn't say, "I'll come unto you," although we do have His Word, we do have His promises. Jesus says, "You come unto me." I've got to take a step in the right direction to go unto Jesus. I've got to be willing to submit myself and my life to His ways if I'm going to have that help, if I'm going to do what God says. And so there is rest to be given. I love the words of Hebrews 4 and verse 9. The Bible says there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. When this life is over, when we've fought that good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, when we've run the race with endurance, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, we can say like Paul, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race. Henceforth there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me on that day, but not to me alone," he said, "not to me alone, to all those who love His appearing." And as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And so what encouragement is there? We can come to Jesus. He is that place of safety. He is that refuge. And you can surely find rest in Christ. A second passage I believe that offers us encouragement is found in Revelation chapter 2. And I want to ask you to turn to the close of the New Testament with me. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. That's Revelation chapter 2, and I want you to look in verse 10. As John writes to the church in Ephesus, as they're dealing with struggles and difficulties, the church in Smyrna, as they deal with struggles and difficulties, as some of them are imprisoned, notice what Jesus says in Revelation 2, verse 10. Jesus said, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. You know, as I think about that word crown, in the Greek language, it's a word that describes a medal that's given to someone who wins a race. Often liken it unto our Olympic medals today. You've got people in the Olympics who run races, but only gold, silver, and bronze win a medal. And you look at them as they stand there on that tier of platforms, receiving those medals, the glory that goes with that. They're the best of the best, that honor they receive. That's kind of the language, Revelation 2, verse 10. Be faithful unto death, Jesus said, you'll receive that medal. What is that medal? It's the crown of life. Not in this life, but if I remain faithful all the days of my life, I receive a heavenly reward. Jesus said in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so, I would have told you. And then he said this, here's the crown. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a better place. There is hope on the other side. And if I don't give up, if I don't give in, if I don't let Satan have his way in my life, then just like that man standing there with that gold medal at the Olympics, you can have that crown of life. You can receive that glory and that honor when you hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joys of your Lord. And so be faithful. Don't ever give up. And friend, it will be worth it. Romans 8:18, Paul said, I consider the sufferings of this present day, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now another passage, 1 Peter chapter 5. And a third encouragement that I want to offer this morning is simply this. God knows and God cares. Look in your Bible. This has to be one of the most tender passages in all of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to notice what verse 7 says. Not only is this a great passage about prayer, but it tells us about the love and the care of our God. That's 1 Peter 5 verse 7. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? He cares for you. Friend, isn't it just simply encouraging this morning to know that the God of heaven cares for you on an individual level? Not Jesus said, not one of your hairs falls off your head that the Lord doesn't know it. He knows how many hairs. Very hairs are on our head. Jesus knows intimately about my life and about yours, but it's not just enough that He knows. He cares. The God of heaven, who spoke this world to existence, cares deeply about you and about me. How much does He care? So much so that He said, if something's not done, these people are going to be lost. What did God do? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you and He loved me so much that He sent His Son, His blessed Son, to die for our sins. That's the care that God has for us. But notice again, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, I am to cast all my cares upon Him. And literally, the word means anxieties, worries, difficulties, troubles. I am to cast all my worries to God. I'm going to let God deal with it. Friend, there are things in this life that are out of my control and they're out of your control. I just have no way of knowing what the outcome's going to be. I have no way of controlling certain circumstances, but I know who does. God is in control, and God says, cast all your care upon me. I care for you. As Brother Bogle prayed, I can't make it rain, and neither can you. It's real dry, and we need a lot of rain. But you know what? I know who can. You're not far from it. Turn to James chapter 5, and let me show you the power of prayer, even in things as simple as rain. Look in your Bible in James chapter 5. Look in James 5, verse 16, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then he goes on to give us a statement about the power of prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or overcomes much. And it's as though the writers or the readers are thinking, well, give me an example. Okay, here's the example, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was human. He was like me and you. And watch what he did. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then watch. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produces its fruit. God knows and God cares. And friend, God says, you let me help you with your problems. You let me worry about the things that we can't control. And so something like rain, how do you deal with that? Can't make it rain, neither can you, but I know who can. God is more than able to cause rain to come upon the earth. Acts 14, verse 17 tells us that it is one of the great witnesses that there is a God. He sends rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And so to know this morning, God knows and God cares, is a great help. I love the words that Ken read for us this morning, 2 Kings 20 and verse 5. Hezekiah is sick. He has some boil, the Bible says. Don't know exactly what that is, but the Bible tells us it's serious. He is at the point of death, and God sends Isaiah to him, and he says, you tell Hezekiah, you're going to die, you're not going to live. Hezekiah breaks down. He cries. He prays to God. He weeps bitterly, the text tells us. And before Isaiah gets out of the court, God said to Isaiah, you go back and tell Hezekiah this. Listen to these beautiful words. I have heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will heal you. God knows. God cares. And friend, that's encouragement for each and every Christian who lives. All right, open your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. As we talk about encouragement this morning, I receive encouragement from the Word of God to put my life into perspective. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. These questions of Jesus make us think about our perspective, our priority in this life. Look in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Jesus said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's our perspective? What's our priority in this life? Friend, you've got one main priority, and so do I. And that priority is my eternal soul. All else has got to come in second place in view of that. Am I doing everything possible to take care of my soul? Not the body, but the soul. That which is inside. That which will return to God when this life is over. That which will live forever somewhere. And so we got to think about our perspective. Am I really putting first things first? Mark 8, verse 36, Jesus said, what's it going to profit a man if you gain the whole world? If you've got all the wealth, all the gold, all the diamonds, all the stuff of this world, and you lose your soul, you've got to think first things first. Am I really putting first the kingdom of God? Matthew 6, 33. Jesus said to Martha, 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 you're worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary's chosen that good part. What was it? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and growing spiritually. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I think about the words of Paul in Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ. Is that what life is all about? Are you living every day for Jesus Christ? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And thus, you've got to put life in perspective. Have encouragement. There is a purpose to this life. That purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. And if I live it that way, friend, you'll have the blessed life that God wants you to have. Now, I want you to open to another passage with me, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. This is a passage of encouragement for every child of God. Romans chapter 8. I'd like for you to turn to verse 1 with me. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You know, Jesus told us to go and spread the gospel so that the world could have hope, so that they would not hear those words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." On the final day, there will be condemnation. They'll be separated on the right hand and the left. The goats, they'll be separated from the sheep, and they will go away into the everlasting fire, to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It's described as a lake of fire. And so, yes, there is condemnation. But who won't receive that condemnation? Look again at Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation to who? Here's that special group. Those who are in Christ. Friend, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. The hope, the joy, the peace, the endurance that we have, that's in Christ. And of course, being in Christ means that's where salvation is. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. How do you get into Christ? The Bible tells us, Galatians 3:27, we are baptized into Christ. But on that wonderful day, if I've been faithful as a child of God, listen carefully. If you lived your life faithful as a child of God, meaning that you've tried to put the kingdom first, you've tried every day to serve God, you've given yourself to the cause of Christ, you've studied His Word, and I understand we all make mistakes, but you're trying to walk in the light. If you're trying to walk in the light, there's no condemnation to those type of people. Those who are not living by the flesh, but are living according to the Spirit and the teaching of God. Now, one last passage, Hebrews chapter 8. I want you to look in verse 12. As we deal today with encouragement, the one thing that probably discourages us the most is sin. Sin in our own lives and sin in the lives of those whom we love. And yet, even as it relates to sin, there is encouragement to be found. Look in Hebrews chapter 8. I want you to open your Bible to Hebrews 8 and verse 12. God says, "For I will be merciful to their sins and their lawless deeds." I'll be merciful to their sins, their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more. Friend, when I think about passages that encourage me, oh, how we all need a second chance. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. All of us sin and fall short. Romans 3, 23. We make mistakes. Sometimes we really blow it. How do I find encouragement in times like those? God says if we're willing to do what's right, then He will be merciful to their sins and their lawless deeds. He'll remember no more. I need God's mercy. It's by God's mercy that I'm saved. Titus 3, verse 5. The Lord's mercy is new every morning. Lamentations 3, verses 20 through 22. But have we really done what's necessary to receive that forgiveness? Let's talk for just a minute about God's plan of salvation. How does a person receive forgiveness? How do you have your sins washed away? We mentioned that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Well, first of all, you've got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not some mystical voice. It's not something better felt than told. It's not some overtaking. How do you hear the voice of God today? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that Word has been given to us through Jesus. God at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus said we have all truth, and that's contained right here in this book. And so you've got to listen to the message of God. Secondly, you've got to believe Jesus is God's Son. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Unless you believe that I'm He, you will surely die in your sins." Do you really believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? You remember Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they're riding down the road in the chariot. They come to a certain water, and he has that great question. "Here's water. What hinders me? You've been talking about it. I'm ready to do it. What's stopping me?" You remember the hindrance? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Once you believed, are you willing to change? Are you willing to turn from the old life and turn to God? Acts 3, verse 19, Peter preached, "Repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Luke 13, verse 3. Having repented, would you make that great confession? "I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And would you do what's necessary to have your sins washed away? What is necessary? Let's look and see together. Would you open Acts 22, verse 16? You talk about an encouraging passage. This is it. Look in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. No more encouraging words can be found than those uttered in Acts 22, verse 16. Ananias comes to Saul and he says these words in verse 16. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." At what point are sins removed? At what point am I restored to God? At what point do I really find encouragement? Friend, when I submit to God's will in baptism, that's when my sins are washed away. Baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. And so we ask you this morning, have you done that? Are you sure you're in Christ where no condemnation is? If as a child of God, maybe you don't have the encouragement you know you ought to because you've not been living right. Friends, sin is what brings us down. And if you've got sin in your life, don't leave here today without making it right. Remember James 5, verse 16. We're to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you've been living with sin in your life, friend, I assure you, you'll find no more encouragement than making it right today and walking out these doors knowing I'm right with God.